In a series in James called Practical Living for an Impractical World. Today we're going to be in James 5, 7 through 12, and here's what it says. Be patient then, brothers, sisters, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmers wait for the land to yield its valuable crop, patiently waiting for the autumn and spring rains. You too, be patient, stand firm, because the Lord is coming near. Don't grumble against one another, brothers, sisters, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. Brothers and sisters, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. As you know, we count as blessed those who have persevered. I mean, you've heard of Job's perseverance and seen what the Lord finally brought about his patience. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. In other words, he gets what you're going through. Above all, my brothers, do not swear, not by heaven, not by earth, or by anything else. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, this is about you. This is your time. We just want to lift you up. We just want to say, speak to us, God. We want to have our mind and our hearts open to you. Lord, above all else, as we just even think about what you have to say, Lord, I just pray that your word would just bear fruit in every person's heart in this place. It's my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. You know what? One second. I can smell the coffee from back over there. I've got to get some. One second. French vanilla caramel. Make my own caramel macchiato. Hot. Man, who made these cookies up here? This is good stuff. okay. My bad. I need my coffee in the morning. I apologize for that. One more. Good stuff. Man. One more. Can you just feel the tension in this room right now? Right? I know what you guys are thinking. Dude, I've got Father's Day cookout. We're going to meet some people. We got things to do. Let's get it moving. Right? In other words, you're getting a little impatient with me. Because we don't like to wait, right? I think we can all agree to this, that we probably live in the most impatient time in the history of the world, right? Before we used to do a lot of walking. That's taking too long. So we get in our cars. And now sometimes that's taking too long as a person driving in front of us. And so what are we doing? We're honking at him. Hey, get moving. And many times we even think, you know what? Driving a car takes too long to get to places. It's just hop in an airplane. And now that's taking too long. We don't cook our food anymore. We put it in the microwave. What do we do at the microwave? Counting down. We're yelling at it. We don't even wait for the beep to go off. It's like 5, 4, 3, and we just take it out. Sometimes still frozen. We're people that can't sit down and watch TV like we used to. Gotta record it so we can fast forward through all the commercials. That takes too long. We're the most impatient people in the history of the world. And even some of you right now are thinking, this better not be a long sermon because you better cut it short. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, it's going to be a long one. Because we're talking about patience. We're not talking about practice. We're not talking about practice. We're talking about patience. And James, he uses three different illustrations to teach us how to be patient from the scripture we just read. And here's the first one. If you're taking notes, be patient when circumstances are uncontrollable. Be patient when circumstances are uncontrollable. Have you figured this out yet? That most of life, in fact, basically all of it is out of our control. We can't keep our hands on anything. And what James does is he uses a farmer as an illustration to give us an example of just how uncontrollable things are and how we need to be patient. Look at verse 7. Be patient then, brothers, until the Lord's coming. See how a farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop and how patient he is. He starts off with, be patient. Be patient with yourself. Be patient with others. Be patient with God's timing. Be patient with God's purposes. Be patient with God's plan. Because patience brings clarity. When you're in a rush, when you're in a hurry, we make all sorts of mistakes. We make all sorts of wrong decisions. We do it in our purchases. When we just go out and we purchase things and then we regret it later. We do it when we get involved in relationships too quickly. We want to just rush things and rush things. He says, be patient. It brings clarity. And then he compares life to farming. Now I admit, I haven't done any farming. But the research that I've done indicates this thing right here, that everything grows according to their season. And there's nothing you can do to make them grow out of the season. Take, for instance, this. When we drove in, it was in October. It was the longest drive I've ever had, coming from Texas, so we're driving. And when we started driving up and down these highways, we saw all these grapes just out in bloom, just amazing grapes. I love grapes. So what we would do is we were driving, and we'd pull over because they were right alongside the road. We'd just pull over, and there were purple grapes, and we'd just pull over and start eating those. And then we'd drive further up, and there were green ones. Pull over, start eating those. And we were telling people from the church when we got here, and they were like, you can't do that. We're like, why not? They were right alongside the road. I was hoping to see those grapes still there come wintertime, but they were gone. It wasn't their season. And the farmers know this, and they factor in all sorts of things. They factor weather, they factor the birds, they factor weeds, they factor people coming in from out of town snatching their harvest too. And yet through it all, they learn patience, to wait for their land to yield its valuable crop. In the same way, we're like that. That's our church. That's us. This is the field. We're the plants. We're the trees. God wants to bear good fruit in us. And he wants us to just continually bear fruit. And he's this patient farmer. And he's working on you. And he's working on you. And he's working on me. And sometimes he's working on us overtime. And there he is. There's a season of pruning. And there's a season of nourishing. A season of feeding and growing. And we have no control over what all that takes place. The only thing that we can do and the only thing that we're called to do is to be patient, even when circumstances are out of our control. Number two, we should be patient when people are unchangeable. You know someone like that? They don't change. James gives us a good example of the Old Testament prophets who spoke God's truth, usually to people who didn't want to listen and never wanted to change. Look at verse 10. As an example of patience. You want to see who was patient? Is the prophets. Because in the face of suffering, they would suffer and suffer and suffer because they would speak in the name of the Lord. Their mission as a prophet was to help people hear God's truth and then show them how to respond to that truth. So the prophets would say, here's what the truth is, here's where we should change. But have you noticed that people don't like change? As a matter of fact, they're very resistant to change. People resist change. Now, I will say this. When we came in, we started changing things up. All sorts of things. And for the most part, people were very open to it. And I'm very thankful for that. So we were changing the direction and how we were going to approach church. Very open to that. But still, there are people, and there are people in our lives, even people we love, people we're close to, that in their life right now, they're resisting change. And here's what tends to happen when they resist and they resist and they resist. What tends to happen is when it doesn't go our way, we want to give up on them. We just want to quit. And we've seen how most everyone, they often quit too soon. We've seen people quit on God. We've seen people quit on their spouse, quit on their friends, quit on church, quit on life. We quit because we're not patient. And yet, if we think about this, the very God we worship is so patient with us. And oftentimes, if we just wait, God compels us to become the person that others want us to be, and they become the person we wanted them to be. And we experience this transformation happen if we wait, if we endure, if we don't quit, if we are patient. We get to see that. And that's what he was doing in their lives. This is what God's wanting to do in our lives. And I kind of think back of a situation that happened in my previous church where there was this guy, he was on fire for the Lord, and all sorts of changes were happening in his life. And so he started inviting friends and family. And one day he came up to me before the service. He says, "Oh man, Pastor, you're not going to believe this, but this friend that I've been trying to get here for the longest time, he's finally going to come. He just texted me. He's on his way." And he kind of gave me a situation of what's going on, but his wife gone off on the deep end. She's basically doing all sorts of these horrific things to him and the family, and he can't take it anymore. He's quitting. He's giving up. So there we are. We're worshiping, and all of a sudden, I see this guy, and I don't know who this person is he's talking about. All of a sudden, about close to mid-service, I see a gentleman walking in, and I recognize him. It was an old friend from middle school, and he sits down, and then afterwards, it turns out that this is the guy this person was talking about, who was struggling. And so he immediately comes up after the service, and I'm thinking to myself, oh, he's going to say, like, man, thank you for that word. It really spoke to me. And I'm going to be so thankful for that because that's what we were praying for. And you know what he does? He comes up to me and he says, "I can't believe you're a pastor. I know you. I know what you used to do." He said that about 15 times. "I can't believe you're a pastor. Take care." And off he went. And he started, let me tell you what he started opening up about the struggles he was going through and how he was just ready to see the attorney. He's going to sign the divorce papers. It was done. And we encouraged him. "Have you prayed for her? Have you waited on her? What's happened? Is she a part of the church? Is she going to church?" And no. "Okay, be patient with her. Let's pray for her. Let's get her involved." And before you know it, she started coming to our life groups. Change started happening in their lives, in their families' lives, in their marriage. All because we encouraged him to be patient. And you know what? One of the things that strikes me is just how all this works out is till this very day. Okay, till this very day. I got a text from him on Wednesday. And he texts me this. Just to let me know how much that meant to him. This is what he said. "Sup, my homie." That's Pastor Becker. "I've been thinking about you a lot lately. And I hope everything's well with you and your family. I know everyone comes to you with problems and guidance and reassurance, myself included, LOL. It must get overwhelming at times. Just know you have a brother in Christ who constantly prays for you. That your spirit remains strong, that the Lord gives you wisdom and understanding. I still consider you my pastor, bro. We come from the same place, cut from the same cloth. I will never forget all that you've done for me and my family. Love you, miss you, stay in touch. Oh, shoot, I forgot the time difference. Sorry about texting so late. All because we encouraged him to be patient with his wife, be patient with his family. And you see what takes place. So let me ask you this. For those difficult relationships that you're dealing with, work, school, home, how are you going to respond? You're going to quit on them? You're going to get frustrated? You're going to get angry? You're going to keep nagging? You're going to breathe down their neck? James says, in whatever situation, be patient. Be patient. Don't give up. So, we're patient when circumstances are uncontrollable, when they're unchangeable, and here's number three, when problems are unexplainable. Classic example of this guy in the Old Testament named Job. Look what James says about him. Verse 11. You have heard of Job's perseverance. Now, if you don't know this, Job is this incredible guy in the Bible, okay? He's an amazing man of God. He loves the Lord. He's got this, everything's going so good for him. He's healthy. He's in good shape. There's no injuries. There's no illnesses. He's extremely wealthy. He's got a large estate. He's got a huge portfolio. He's got this great company. He's so successful. He's even got this amazing, huge, beautiful family. 10 kids. Then one day, out of nowhere, bam, everything destroyed, devastated. He lost everything financially. Okay? He lost all 10 of his kids. Think about that kind of funeral. 10 coffins, 10 holes in the ground. Okay? He lost his health. He broke out with these horrific boils that were just all over his body, that it got so bad that he even had stray dogs just lick his wounds just to get some kind of relief. He was suffering physically, emotionally, financially, relationally, spiritually. And to top it off, fellas, to top it off, the only thing he was left with was a nagging wife who kept telling him this over and over and over. Just cuss God out and have him kill you too. Telling him that all the time. And some of you husbands and boyfriends think you've got it bad. Job's story is one of the most confusing and yet comforting stories in the Bible. Because God deliberately allowed this to happen in his life. It was that kind of season. And so for 37 chapters in the book of Job, God's silent. And even when Job's complaining, and even when Job's crying out to God and questioning all these things that are happening, God is completely silent. He can't make sense of this. But in the middle of it all, he never lost his faith. He was beaten bad, but never beaten down. He was patient. And the lesson is this: God is going to be silent many times. And we're going to see problems that are so unexplainable. We need to be patient. We need to trust in God during those times. Some of us can't get a job. We can't find that right person to date or to marry. We can't have children. We can't be healed from a certain pain. There's things going on in our work. There's things going on in our business. There's things going on with our kids. And we may never get the answers that we need, but we should be patient because we trust that God is good. And he knows what he's up to. And he's promised us that whatever's happening, it's for our good. And so, we've seen why we should be patient. James gives us reasons why. Here's three good reasons why we need to be patient. Number one, we be patient because God is in control. Verse 8. Be patient, stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. Now, three times he says that in these five verses. The Lord is coming, the Lord is coming. Why is he saying that? Be patient, the Lord is coming. And how does that say anything about God being in control? Well, think about this. The return of Jesus is the ultimate proof that God is in control, because there ain't nothing going to stop his return, and everything is moving towards that grand finale. Why? Because he's in control. I love a different translation. It says, also in verse 8, it says, resting your hearts on the ultimate certainty that God is in control. Even when situations are out of our control, trust that God is in control. And I started kind of thinking how we're always trying to rush things. We even try and rush God, we're trying to get him to do things that we want him to do. And I was trying to think how I can best illustrate this. And yesterday at the men's steak night, which was a great time. It, fellas, if you didn't make it, plan on being there next year, because them steaks were these thick, juicy, bloody, most amazing flavored things ever. And there was some good fellowship too. Anyway, we got together, and I was overhearing someone talk about butterflies. And I never hear that in a men's group, right? Butterflies. And they were talking something like catching butterflies or seeing these types of butterflies at their home. And I'm like, who cares about butterflies? Anyway, it got me thinking. It's kind of like that when we try and rush things. Well, before it's a butterfly, there's a caterpillar, what have you, in a cocoon. And what happens when you try and rush that cocoon open? What happens to that butterfly? Dies. So the butterfly has to struggle, and I'm doing this for this person that talked about butterflies, just so you know. Butterfly struggles to get out of the cocoon, and he has to go through that struggle before he soars high. If you cut that process short, it dies. Same with us. We want to hurry God. We want to try and help him out a bit. We want to open up our own cocoons, but the result is not good. It brings death in our lives when we try to hurry God. Don't do that. Be patient. God's timing is perfect. He's in control. He knows what he's up to. Trust in him. And number two, be patient because God rewards it. Verse 11. As you know, we consider blessed those who have persevered. Think about Job again. In all those struggles that he went through, in the end, you know what happened? God blessed Job. He had everything and much more than he had before. His disease was healed. His business grew tenfold. He had more children. He had grandchildren. And get this, his wife stopped nagging at him. If Job were here this morning, if he said, you know what, Ed, sit down, let me take over. You know what he would tell you? He would say this. It pays to be patient. It pays to be patient with your husband. It pays to be patient with your wife. It pays to be patient with your kids, with your friends, with your coworkers. It pays to be patient with your teachers, your boss. And if nothing else, you will have peace. And you ain't going to get all worked up when and if you are patient. It pays to be patient. Look at what Jesus said in Matthew 5, 11, 12. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. Jesus says, man, times are going to get tough. You're going to get hurt. People will criticize you. But if you are patient, there's a reward for you. Just wait it out. And number three, be patient because God is working things out. Look at verse 11. You've heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. James goes back. You know, as much as Job thought that God wasn't working behind the scenes, he really was. He was doing a good work for him. God knew what he was up to. Listen to this. Delays do not mean denial. Okay? You may be in a hurry. God isn't. He's working. Our hands may be tied and we may be ready to give up. But don't give in. Don't give in. God is in control. God is in control of the uncontrollable. And I may not know what you're going through right now, but God sure does. He does. And he's going to work that situation out for your good. The question is, will you be patient? Will you be patient? And if you say yes, then let your yes be yes. And before I close, I just want to share a little something with you as well. And you know, with coming from a church and seeing it one service, two services, three services, we're getting things going, and then we come down here, we make the move, and it's been a challenge to be sure. And one of the things that I've been impatient in so many ways of just trying to rush things and get people going and do this and that. And, you know, I want to apologize if I've come off impatient with anyone. My purpose and what I want to hold before anything is that I love you guys and I serve you well. That's first and foremost. And I want to be as patient as I possibly can with you, okay? I've been praying for that. With that being said, let me pray for you all. Father, I thank you so much for your word and how you even speak to me personally. And I just pray that your word would resonate with every person here, whatever struggles that they're going through, that they would hold on, that they would not give in or give up, and that they would seek you and be patient with you and how you're working in their life and the people around them. Lord, my prayer is as we walk out of this service here this morning, that our lives would be changed, that we would be changed people to reflect your Son, Jesus, who was the most patient of all. And we thank you so much for him. We thank you so much for your love, your patience, your mercy for every person here, including myself. And we love you because of it. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.